20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. And that's not even including the ones that were scattered across the other states where they were buried in their hometowns in these little cemeteries behind their churches. And so we want to say thank you to the moms and dads that allowed their sons and daughters to go off to war and to pay the ultimate sacrifice. We want to say thank you to the to the freedoms that we enjoy because of the sacrifices that some have made, which was the ultimate sacrifice. And G.K. Chesterton, he said that courage is almost a contradiction in terms. He said it means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. And you know, I really believe that lines up with Scripture too, because if we're going to live, the Bible says you're going to have to die. Amen? And therefore, in our lives, you know, in order for Jesus Christ to be magnified through us, we're going to have to die to ourselves. And we remember the men and women that have given us this liberty to be able to preach on a Sunday for Memorial Day, where there's a freedom to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, the name that's above every other name, with no fear, no worry, no doubt, no wondering. We just say, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, as many times we want, as often as we want, for we know that his word never returns void, but always accomplishes that which he sent it to do, right? And therefore, when we magnify the name of Jesus and we lift up that name, then he draws all men unto himself. So thank God for those and that the ones that are serving now. We thank you for surrendering your lives for this time and season, taking care of all the borders of America and around the world, protecting this great nation to be able to preach the word of God, to be able to pray in the name of Jesus everywhere we want, and to be able to send out missionaries around the world to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you to all of you and for all that you have given. And so many have given the ultimate sacrifice. And I pray that in Christ, we would live the ultimate sacrifice. That every morning we would arise and say, today I die and Jesus Christ lives. Today I lay my life down and I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, it's no longer what I desire, but it's what his plan and his purpose is for me today. Today, all that I have, I want to be able to use it for the expanse of the kingdom of God. Today, as I die and I surrender myself, someone will hear of the goodness of God. That's why our freedoms are here. So no matter where we walk and who we talk to, we have a freedom to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ. Even though there's many outlets that would try to stifle that, for everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord, you have a freedom to proclaim him in every arena in this great nation. And I want to encourage you, take your liberty, because it came at a great price. It came at a magnificent price, an unbelievable price of the blood of men and women. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And today, as we continue on, we're just calling it his words today is the title. If you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and we're going to get into some of his words. And again, we're framing this that we're going to be standing on whatever Jesus Christ said, or the letters, the words in red. We're just going to stay there for a time and a season working through them and not necessarily in a historical order. But as the word of God just starts to ruminate in our hearts, we're going to share it and then proclaim it. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And in verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the power, or by the word of his power. When he made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so here we find the reason why we're looking at the words in red, the reason why we're studying the words of Jesus Christ is because he is the exact representation of the Father. He is the Father incarnate on the earth, speaking in such a way that whatever he says comes directly from the throne room, which we said last week. And so there's no doubt of the heart behind it. There's no doubt of the purpose behind it. And there's no miscommunication between him and the Father. The miscommunication usually comes between us and the Word. That's usually where I run into problems. When I try to look for something in the Word in order to sustain a certain way that I live rather than surrendering a way that I live. Or when I look at the Word of God and I try to find a way to continue in the thought process that is outside the Word of God in order to justify where I'm at. And that's where I run into trouble. Thank God we changed those ways early on. That's what I did early on, was try to justify or fabricate a way where I could live the way that I wanted to and find Scripture to support that. But then there came a time where complete and total surrender comes, and that's what we have to do, is get to a place where complete and total surrender comes, because he is the exact representation of the Father. There is no deviation. There is no difference. When he speaks, it's the Father speaking, the very creator of all that we have. And then if you turn over to John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Here's Jesus now with his words. He can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So again, he's a perfect, exact representation of the Father. And here, he can do nothing of himself. And you know, if we can get to that point, that's what my cry is every day. Lord, let me do nothing in and of myself, but let it be according to the leading of the Spirit of God. Because we know the Spirit of God is the teacher, he's the guide, he's the one that comforts us beyond anything else. When no one else is around and you're struggling in your mind, maybe just me, I need something bigger than me to help bring comfort in those situations. Because I don't know about you guys, but my mind can go way out of whack. It can get way off from something so little, you know, and that's why God gave me my wife. And she says, what is wrong with you? Why do you go there? What? There, that is has nothing to do with what I said. And I would, what? It's not? Oh, thank goodness. But our minds want to go in a different direction. And Jesus is saying, listen, mine and the Father's mind, it's one direction. It's one purpose. It's for your freedom. It's one direction. It's one purpose. It's so for your healing. And everything that Jesus did, he said, I'm going to do nothing in and of myself. Everything that you see me do, I saw the Father do. Every purpose that I have in my life is the purpose that we had in eternity. Everywhere that I walk, I'm going to show you what perfect unity looks like between me and the Father. And I want you to enjoy the same thing. I want you to learn to enjoy unity with the Father, because that perfect love has cast out all fear. Amen? And how many know that fear keeps you from doing the will of God? How many people have never preached the Word of God because of fear? How many people have never gone to mission field because of fear? How many people won't tithe because of fear? How many people, they're afraid, or they don't step out when they get amongst their old friends? Maybe they're in church for a while, and yet then when they get with their old friends, they quiet down because of fear. But yet, Jesus said, listen, I want to show you what perfect love looks like. I want to show you what it's like that when I walk, I understand me and the Father have such a beautiful relationship. There's no doubt of his love. Even when men spit at me, even when men mock me, even when people ignore me, even when people lie about me, he said, I'm going to show you how to walk in love in the midst of the most cynical people on the planet, the most religious tyrants on the planet, the most hateful spirit that is in people that would hate me for doing what's right. But I'm going to show you how me and the Father walk so that there's no misunderstanding, to give you the strength to be able to walk in every situation. Because he said, I can do nothing in and of myself. And I think that that's where an issue comes with each and every one of us. An issue comes when we do things in and of ourselves. A thought comes about me and myself and I. A thought comes that is outside the Word of God. A thought comes, or a desire comes, outside the Word of God. And then I start to do things in and of myself, aside from the Word of God. The Spirit of God comes and he says, hang on, don't go there. Don't go there. And my mind says, yeah, but I want to go there. I like going there. I've been there many times, and I think I'm going to go again because it's something that's familiar. It's something that felt good for a season. But then the Spirit of God says, stop. Stop. What the enemy meant for evil, I'm going to turn it around and use it for good. Stop. That never brought freedom or joy or peace or mercy in your life. Only thing that brought was bondage, fear, rejection. Don't go there in your mind. Anything that he did in and of himself was in unison with what the Father had spoken or what happens in eternity. And thank God we get to see what happens in eternity as we read the Word of God. And eternity comes alive in our hearts. The Bible says that he has placed eternity in each one of our hearts, right? So therefore, there's a place that we can connect to. There's an understanding that we have. He's placed eternity in our hearts. We know there's something greater. And then we get to see how they live in eternity. And that's what God's desire is that it would be heaven on earth or eternity living through us to show the world what unity with the Father, perfect love, casting out all fear, no condemnation, none whatsoever in your life when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives. If you have your, turn over to Matthew chapter 3 and we're going to read there from verse We'll just read in verse 15 to 17, just because I have to get through this. In 15, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Permit it to be this way. And we know this is the baptism of John. Jesus is coming and John saying, hey, I'm going to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, I got to fulfill all righteousness. Here, we know that there was no baptism, water baptism in the Old Testament, right? There was a circumcision of the flesh, but there wasn't a water baptism. But it was a command that came that he gave to John the Baptist, sorry. So there wasn't a command in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, or just before the New Testament, here with the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist. And he said, hey, listen, there's a baptism. And Jesus wanted to make sure that he fulfilled all the commandments of God. He didn't want to leave any of them out. And even though it wasn't the command per se in the Old Testament where they were circumcised of the flesh and now it's a circumcision of the heart. And Jesus, even though this command wasn't in the Old Testament, it was a command that God gave. Therefore, he's going to fulfill that also. And he said, I got to fulfill all righteousness. Nothing is left to chance. Nothing. Nobody's going to come back and say, yeah, but he didn't do this. He didn't fulfill it. He didn't satisfy all the law. Jesus said he didn't come down here to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And this is fulfilling the law. He's doing exactly what the Father, God incarnate, coming down, being made flesh, and now submitting to another man, being water baptized in the Jordan and coming out, the Spirit of God now descending upon him and him walking into the wilderness, him walking and starting his ministry, full power, everything that God has for him in the future. So Jesus is leaving nothing. He said, I can do nothing in of myself. He had to be water baptized. He had to fulfill things, all the things according to righteousness. And then in verse 17, it says, and behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So once again, Jesus obeying the Father, the exact representation. There's no disunity. There's no arrogance. There's no pride. There's no anger. There's no saying, I'm above this. There's no saying, really, do we have to do this too? He does exactly what the Father says. And then we hear those beautiful words from the Father. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then we hear it again in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7. It says, then a cloud formed overshadowing them and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. And then these words he spoke, listen to him. So now we know that the Father loves the Son. We know he's an exact representation of the Father. And now the Father is saying, listen to him. This is what he's telling each and every one of us. Don't listen to yourself. Please don't listen to yourself. I don't want to listen to you. Please, you don't want to listen to you either. We've heard all about you. Now we want to hear about him. We want to hear about the one who delivers, the one who heals, the one who makes whole, the one who rebuilds, the one who strengthens, the one who transforms, the one who changes, and the one who delivers us from all the foolishness of ourselves. And so he says, listen to him. You know, when we listen to him, that's what prayer is. Prayer is not just talking all the time, but it's about listening to him. It's about quieting ourselves before the Father and then listening to him, sitting before him, resting in him, proclaiming him, allowing him to speak to us. He knows that in the busy times of our days that we're not going to spend a lot of time listening. Maybe unless you're in a truck, you can listen to CDs, tapes, or cassette tapes, maybe for some of those guys that are still trucking. And but you can listen to those things while you're driving, but most of the time you're thinking about what you're doing, and you're busy about your job, and you don't take a lot of time to listen, and you get home, and the children are busy, and so therefore, you're not listening, not spending time, and that's what God wants us to draw aside. That's what fasting is also. Fasting is that surrendering. It's that time stealing away that, no, I want him more than I want food. I want his voice louder in my mind than I want my voice. And this is what Jesus is allowing us, and the Father is, or actually the Father is saying, please listen to him. And we've watched many times as Jesus would steal away and go away and be with the Father just to hear the Father's heart and what is coming and how he is to accomplish the tasks at hand, but mostly because of that relationship and that unity between the Father and himself. You know, what did he come into the world? You know, he came to seek and save that which is lost. This is what he wants heard. Listen, if we're going to speak about Jesus Christ, he came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to bear witness to the truth. These are all the things that Jesus' words are speaking. You know, he came out of heaven, not to do his own will, but to do the will of the one who sent him. He came to be the light of the world, that whoever believes in him would no longer walk in darkness. He came so that they might have life. Each one of us might have life and have it more abundantly. These are the promises that God has given. And this is the words that Jesus is speaking over each and every one of us. These are the words that Jesus is speaking so that we would be able to walk in complete and total peace with the Father. You know, life is to be lived abundantly. There needs to be an abundance of mercy in your life because you're going to bump into people that you're going to have extra mercy for at different times. Amen? You're going to need an abundance of grace in your life because Lord knows you're going to dealing with yourself. If we could get you, every person out there, to have enough grace for themselves, wouldn't that be amazing? That you have grace for yourself, that you don't condemn yourself. You have grace for yourself so you don't look in the mirror and complain about yourself. You don't complain, you don't hate, you don't sit there and just wallow in your own foolishness, but you believe that God's mercy and his grace is enough for us as an individual because we're going to need it for others. That grace is always enough, but it's got to start with us. Do you believe that God loves you so much that all of those things are washed away? Or do you keep bringing them up one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another? And do you go back over your mind? You have a couple that you span a few good days, and then all of a sudden, we go back into the wrong thoughts. He said, hang on a second. I don't want you thinking like that again. I want you thinking like we do in eternity. I'm the exact representation. This is what I want from you. I've come to set you free. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, an abundant amount of mercy and grace, an abundance of love so great that it would cast out all of your fears. That no matter who you meet on the street, you wouldn't worry. You wouldn't panic. You wouldn't freak out. You wouldn't get an attitude if they had a mask or no mask. It wouldn't matter either way to you. All right? You're going to have grace and mercy for that. All right? So whatever is going on, those things don't move us. None of those things move us. The only thing that moves us is I'm compelled, because I don't do what I want to do, I'm compelled through the love of God because of what Christ has said. I do not do it of my own will, but the will of the Father, that I share the love of Christ with whoever it is. Because the only desire is that they would come to know the know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The list goes on and on and on of what Jesus said that he has given to each and every one of us. And what the Father says is what Jesus said, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, if we could stop listening to all this other junk out there. Listen to him. That's it. Stand on his word. Listen to him. Turn over to John chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And he is the exact representation. I'm sorry, I meant to say John 12, 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. And he says, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So here we find the words of Jesus will be the words that judge us at the last day. We know the scripture says that God is not going to be the judge on the last day. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ confirming that. In verse 49, he says, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. So again, we're framing this and building this, why we're listening to this. The words that Jesus speaks, those are going to be the things that judge us. And again, in verse 49, he says, for I did not speak of my own initiative. Look, there's a lot of initiatives out there. Every town, every city, every place that you go, there's a new initiative. There's another initiative. We need to go back to the original initiative that God has for each and every one of us, that we don't speak on our own initiative. You do not, as we come into Christ, and these words are tough, because now as we come into Christ, you don't have a right to speak of your own initiative. Because if we're going to surrender, we're going to agree with him. And if Jesus said, I do not speak of my own initiative, then neither do we. Now we've got to start to speak according to what the word from eternity is, which is what Jesus showed us as the exact representation of the Father. And then we know that that initiative, it comes from, it's a commandment that he says, and it has to do with eternal life. This is what Jesus's focus was. It was come to give us a right relationship with the Father, and we know that according to the scriptures. And when he brings us into a right relationship, now you have a new initiative. Your old initiative was usually based in whatever, arrogance and greed and pride and fear and hurt and blame and unforgiveness and bitterness and all of these things, they were your and my initiative. But thank God those days are over, amen? Thank God now there's a new initiative and it's called eternal life. So now our only initiative is to take what he said, ingest it. Oh, if we would ingest the word of God. He said, listen, this is eternal life, knowing Jesus Christ, right? John 17, 3. He said, this is life, knowing Jesus Christ. And if we could take his words and start to ingest them and just sit on them, meditate on them, live on them. It's like sweeter than the sweetest orange there is. And you want to squeeze every drop. I remember we used to go to Florida when we were younger. And it just seemed like once you crossed the state line into Florida, the oranges got sweeter. It just seemed like every roadside place you stopped at, you would get one a bag of oranges and then you would just eat it. You would drain all the juice, every drop out of it, because they were so sweet compared to when they pick them green and send them to New York, you know what I mean? And then they got to ripen in Price Chopper or whatever. But and when you hit the border of Florida, it was like, yes, you know that there's going to be some sweetness coming into the car. And we're going to pull over, get a bag. That'll be empty by the time we get to our destination. We'll have to get another bag. And it was just something that happened as soon as we crossed over that state line. And then it wasn't just the juice, because you didn't want to waste any of it. You peeled it, you took the juice out of it, and then you would eat the pulp and everything else, because there was still something left in there that you wanted, because you haven't had that taste in a while. I don't know about you, but that's the way I always was. Every time I thought about it, it was like, can we get another orange? And we would bring bags home when we were kids. We'd always have to, in the trunk, with three kids. And of course, you know, you just packed up one car and you all went. I slept in the back window most of the time. It was legal back then. It was a comfiest spot. And I didn't have to share it with anybody unless the sun was shining and it was a little bit warm. But then we would fill the trunk with a couple bags of oranges to get home, and everybody would fight for the oranges, because we knew once they were gone, it was over. It was over. And now it was sort of like just pressing in and making yourself eat, drink the orange juice and eat the oranges that weren't quite as sweet. Can I tell you? I pray that we would look at the Word of God the same way. That every time we open up the Word of God, it's the sweetest thing that we have ever seen in our lives. It is the purest thing we ever saw in our lives. It is the most valuable thing that you want. You cross the border. Anyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ has crossed the border. You stepped out of darkness into His marvelous light. And now that Word is rich. It is so sweet. It is so, it just exhilarates you when you grab a hold of it. So that early in the morning when you wake up, you know you're stepping over the state line. You're stepping over the line from darkness into light. When you grab a hold of the Word of God, everything about the Word of God just starts to soothe. It just, so you, and you can't wait to read a little bit more. Everyone else is talking, but you want to read just a little bit more. Everyone else, they get up in the morning and they start chatting. You pull aside and you grab the Word of God. No, I've got to have this. Why? Because these are the words of life. This is the command that He said, that His words are about eternal life. And this is something that everybody wants to know about, is eternal life. Amen? How many books have you read on eternal life? How many ever read on the rapture and everything that's coming? Everybody wants to know. We know what everyday life is, and everybody wants to know about eternal life. Well, here's the knowing eternal life, Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. That beautiful, that pure, that righteous, where He doesn't do anything of His own initiative. He doesn't even speak of His own initiative. Oh, if marriages could grab a hold of this one. You know what, Brent? You need to grab this. I'm telling you, this will change our marriage. If I don't speak on my own initiative, and we don't speak on our own initiative, but we just say what the Word of God says. We start to speak what Jesus said. Oh, how much richer will we be? Really? Come on. That's just wrong. Now that we're on camera, we have to stop on time. No, we don't. Yes, we do. John 17:8 says, "For the words which you gave me, I have given to them." Again, we're framing this. The words which the Father gave Jesus, He gave to you. So when you read His words, they're directly from the throne of God. And the throne of God is so righteous, so pure, so just. There is no shadow of turning. There's no sin, there's no unrighteousness, there's no fear. None of that stuff is in the throne room. So what the Father wants you to hear is the same thing that you want, whether it's your child or your grandchild. When they're first born, what do you ever say to them except, "Oh, how beautiful. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, I love you." And you hold it dear and you keep it as close as you can, and you don't stop saying beautiful things. That's how God is towards us. He says beautiful things about you, or grandbabies now. I mean, they're just flooding the church these days, you know. They're not coming in one at a time. They're coming in two at a time and stuff. But when you grab them grandbabies and you hold them close, the only thing you can see is perfection. Can I tell you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, when God looks at us, He sees perfection. He sees the perfected. And what He says is, "I love you. I adore you. I want you to understand that. Would you please agree with me? Would you believe me? This is about eternal life. This is my command, that you wouldn't have your thoughts of your failures, but you would have the thoughts of how wonderful you are in me. Outside of me, you're nothing. But in me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." And then the last one in John chapter 14 and verse 10. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative. Again, he's reiterating this. But he said, the Father abiding in me does his work. And so the words that Jesus are saying, that's the work that's happening when you agree with them, when you read them, when you study them, when you ingest them, when you allow the word of God just to drip from that honeycomb into who you are and wash and renew the mind. We have to surrender all of our words and devour his. Jesus spoke the words of eternity, and he changed two men from cowards to conquerors, or 12 men from cowards to conquerors, his words that are life and life more abundant. You know, when Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And some people say that's a very harsh saying. How can you say that? So narrow-minded. It's the word of God. And we're going to stand on the word of God. And I agree with the word of God, and I believe the word of God, that there is no way to the Father except through the Son. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. His name is above every other. He is the propitiation for each one of our sins. He is the spotless lamb that took away the sins of the world. And so this morning, as we close, I want you to know that if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're out there, it's asking him to forgive you of your sins and you walking in repentance or turning from the way that you were walking. You were walking selfishly and then you turn and you start to walk according to the word of God. You start to walk in a different way as you surrender and you ask him to forgive you of your sins and you receive him as your Lord and your Savior, simply saying, Father, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that his blood was shed for my sins, and I agree and I accept him now as my Lord and my Savior. And then we change. And then the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, and only to build each other up, to strengthen each other. And the scripture says that the church is for training and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why we come. So I want to encourage you that if you've never prayed that prayer, to pray that today and ask him to forgive you of your sins, be the Lord of your life, to come into your heart, to repent. Say, Father, I repent. I turn away. I hate that old life. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Change my life today. And he will. He always does. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, it is so sweet. It is so beautiful. It's so rich. Lord, and we never can get enough. Today, we agree that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Father, we believe and agree. We know that he didn't walk in his own initiative or speak of his own initiative, but he simply accomplished that which you told him to do. The two of you walking in agreement, the only way that we would be able to have a relationship with the King of Glory for all of eternity comes from you. Surrendering to you, agreeing with you. Father, today we thank you for changing our hearts and our minds according to your word so that you would be glorified in everything that we do. We surrender. Let our words be your words. Let our plans be your plans and our desires be yours. Father, let it be that we live in such a way that someone else's life is changed for the goodness as they hear of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.